AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. The Turkey-Syria quake death toll is now about 21,000. Much international help is there, but time and freezing weather are dropping the odds of finding many more survivors.
Is there anyone who can hear me? They shout. Rescuers continue to find life. An Israeli army team pulls a two-year-old from the rubble. And finally, we find American rescue teams on the ground in Adiyaman, confident there's still time to save lives.
CBS News correspondent Chris Lifsay on the scene. It has been days, but that Chinese balloon is still generating a lot of controversy. In a rare bipartisan fashion, the House has voted unanimously 419 to none to condemn China over balloon surveillance, which China claims it was not doing, and the Biden administration says yes, it was.
Since a U.S. fighter jet shot it down on Saturday, the FBI has been collecting and analyzing the wreckage. Underwater pictures apparently show the electronics mostly intact, even after falling from 60,000 feet. And while it was still flying, U-2 spy planes took high-resolution photos of what is described as an array of antennas for intercepting communications.
Correspondent Skylar Henry. Ukrainian officials warn of a new Russian offensive in the nearly year-old war. Much of the country's under an air raid alert right now. Meantime, a Russian news agency says Vladimir Putin plans to participate in a rally later this month involving some 200,000 people in Moscow. There's word today of a big-name subpoena in the Justice Department investigations of ex-President Donald Trump. Special counsel Jack Smith trying to force testimony from the ex-vice president Mike Pence.
Smith is working quickly and thoroughly. He wants to get a hold of everybody who was within the orbit of former President Trump to find out what documents there were, perhaps how they're being handled, and any conversations between Trump and Pence.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson. In suburban Baltimore, a major manhunt has been underway for a man suspected of shooting two officers. He has now been found but has not yet been caught. Harford County Sheriff Jeff Gaylor.
When he bailed out of the vehicle, he went into a wooded area right there near the mall, and he hunkered down. He dropped to the ground, stayed in a prone position. He's moved a little bit since then, but we do have eyes on him.
And in New Orleans, a Mardi Gras update from law enforcement.
One of the most important things that we talked about is NOPD's leadership here. Supervisors everywhere. If there's questions, support that's needed, NOPD will be right there to do that.
Orleans Parish Sheriff Susan Hudson. Ahead of the Super Bowl, Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes wins the NFL Most Valuable Player Award. It's the second time for him. This is CBS News.
Guys, this Valentine's Day, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sexy, sultry, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Even more alluring than lingerie, the texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive that you'll both love the feel of them. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. Go to pajamagram.com right now and save 25%. Pajamagram will even wrap the whole gift up for free. That's right, 25% off naturally nude pajamas and free gift packaging. Listen, if you missed out on this offer during Christmas, don't make the same mistake twice. But you need to order today because last year they sold out before Valentine's Day. Here's what you do. Go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com. Use code NUDE, N-U-D-E, and save 25% off your order of naturally nude pajamas. Order now.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 16 overnight under partly cloudy skies, northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, high of 24. Lows dip down to about 12 tomorrow night, clear skies. Dry and turning much warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
You didn't build the ark?
No, I swam all the way here.
Okay. All right. Well, it's raining, and if ever there was perfect timing for guests, it is right now. I'm joined by Mr. Kevin Schaefer. He is the executive director of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, and also Peter Cafaro, who is the director of community outreach at Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. Good morning to you guys. How are you?
Good morning, girl. We're great. How are you?
All right. Man, you got that radio voice. you really do, man. So, you know, when you retire.
There you go.
All right.
The second career coming.
So let's begin by talking about what Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District is.
And again, thank you for having us on this morning. The Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, MMSD, is a regional in the greater Milwaukee area. But we provide, we collect wastewater, we transport it down to the two wastewater treatment plants where we treat that water and we discharge it back into Lake Michigan. The importance of that is we take our drinking water in that from Lake Michigan as well. So it's a cycle that we want to make sure that we purify that water as much as possible. We also do flood management. 1.1 million people, 411 square mile area, and it is it's a job where we love sunny, dry days.
So I mean, you just got me right away. You take the wastewater into a certain area of Lake Michigan, purify it. And it becomes the drinking water?
It does. And we're lucky that we have we're lucky that we have Lake Michigan in the Great Lakes, but there's a lot of places in the country where they are taking their wastewater, injecting it into the groundwater, and then pumping that groundwater up to use for drinking water. It's just the hydrologic cycle that we all learned when we were kids, but we have mankind that stepped in and has its impact on
it. Well, you know, we don't think about, we're so fortunate to live in a time like now where we can get that. And and people don't know how it's done, where it's coming from, but it's there.
Right.
And so, you know, to hear you guys talk about what you do and treatment of the water, is fascinating to me.
Yeah, and we're seeing around the country areas where they're starting to have problems. Flint, Michigan, 5 or 6 years ago, they had the lead pipe issue that came up. And then just last year, Jackson, Mississippi, where they've had issues with drinking water, wastewater. We're starting to see these things, and so it's making people more aware of the infrastructure that they have in place for this. But it's really important for people to understand where they get their water from, how they use that water in their homes and businesses, and then how that water comes back to us.
So Milwaukee is right in the mix of those with leaded water, and I would ask you, once the water is treated, and you guys treat it, and it comes back through the pipes, the lead that problems come from it coming through those pipes, I guess. It's already treated. You guys treat it before it comes back into our homes. Is it safe to say that?
Well, let's step back and kind of talk through the cycle. So we are not the drinking water utility, so we do not treat the water that comes into the house.
Okay.
So in our case, the drinking water utilities pull the water from Lake Michigan. They treat that water to drinking level standards. They put it into their local systems to distribute that water out to homes and businesses. And it's the lead pipe issue that we're seeing right now is really the pipe that the homeowner or the property owner owns. So it's the pipe that comes from the street to the house, delivering that clean water to the house for use. And it's that pipe where we're seeing a lot of the lead pipe issues that are facing us. And just the fact that that water is flowing through that pipe, if the water is not treated to a certain standard, that will cause some of that lead to flake off and get into the drinking water. Once that water comes into the house, you use it for your laundry, you drink it, you bathe in it, your dishwasher, any type of water that you use in the house, your toilets, comes back to the same pipe, I'm sorry, to a single pipe that comes back into a separate system. So the water goes from the house through a pipe that the property owner owns to the street. Whatever city you live in owns the sewers that are in the street. Those sewers deliver it to MMSD sewers. We take that water to two treatment plants where we treat it to a very high standard and discharge back to Lake Michigan. So it's just a cycle.
So when you use the term Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, when that term is, or that name is spoken of, I always think, okay, so there's something called a deep tunnel in the city of Milwaukee that was built, I remember when it was new, but it's got to be, what, 25 years old now?
It actually went online in August of 1993.
Okay, so it's amazing to me. Yeah. And at the time, they said it was too small. It was built too small. It cost, I don't know, tens of millions of dollars back in those days to build. You have said that it's been expanded. The capacity of it has been expanded.
Yeah, so I started at the district in 1998, and we had already had in place at that time the original deep tunnel, and we've added two segments to that since I've been at the district to expand the capacity. And you can build whatever size you want. It really comes down to what's the most cost-effective approach to do that, because you could bankrupt a community if you wanted to catch every single drop of some of this water. And we really do rely on Mother Nature to help us treat that water as well. But it's really a cost benefit analysis. You work with EPA and the Department of Natural Resources here in the state, and you really try to meet those regulatory guidelines that they give you. And actually, you want to do better than those regulatory guidelines. But the tunnel has done a phenomenal job. I mean, the water quality in the rivers and the lake is much better than it was before the tunnel.
So let's talk about the river, because when you've been around a while, you remember the river and the foam that used to be on that river and how horrible the stench was of that river downtown. And we were the machine shop of the world in my lifetime, and so from tanneries to drop forges. I worked at A. O. Smith for 34 years, and we sent our share of poisons into the river. And from breweries to, you know, again, tanneries, you name it, the EPA and wasn't as strong, even if it existed at all at an early point in time. This is what they did. They dumped all of that into the river. And it was okay, right?
I mean, people
didn't understand the impact of it at that time.
Yeah, they were doing what everyone did at the time. And it, really, the key milestone was 1972, and that's when the Clean Water Act passed. And it was that piece of legislation that has pushed this country to a much cleaner rivers and lakes and environment.
And so I remember the river was brown.
Yeah.
And if you look at what it is today, and all up and down the river walk, people are living on the river. If you go back to 1972,
yeah,
couldn't have happened. So what happened? How is it possible to clean up a body of water as big as the Milwaukee River?
Yeah. Well, you have to really look at it from the entire watershed. You can't just look at it from, you know, from First Street to Third Street. You have to look at where the water's coming from. And you're right. If you look at downtown, some of the older buildings, the back of the building faced the river.
Right.
They weren't facing the river because it was full of stuff.
Right.
And that was what we did. You know, that was just the way our society developed. So we've come to the point where what we're trying to do is reduce the pollutants that are getting into the river. So the deep tunnel was a marvelous approach to do that. Since the tunnel came online in 1993, it's captured and cleaned 98.5% of all the water that comes to us. So when we have those overflows to the rivers or dumping that you might hear about, it's that 1.5%. EPA requires that we be greater than 85%. So we were doing a much better job than the EPA is requiring. So that has helped us with the urban water that's getting into the rivers, and we're seeing the rivers revive from that. We're also working with stormwater, which is just the runoff, like where we're sitting today. This stormwater that goes into a storm sewer is not treated at all. It goes right to the rivers and then into the lakes. So that water is the next step where we need to do more with the municipalities to clean that stormwater.
So stormwater, you would think, okay, it's this water, how it's not poison when it's coming out of the sky, it's poison once it goes through the system?
We did it. So what are we doing right now this time of year? We're putting salt on the roads.
Yes.
Where does that salt go? The stormwater is washing that salt into the rivers. We're driving cars. I drove my car here today.
Right.
We're dropping off little pieces of rubber, some oil maybe, you know, so there's pollutants that are coming off our daily lives, hitting the streets, washing into the storm sewers, and going into the rivers and lake. That is not treated in most areas. And so what we're trying to do is address where all that pollution is coming from, but then we still have the problem of what you were talking about where the rivers were polluted before. We used to put all this stuff into the rivers, and a lot of that contamination has settled to the bottom, and we need to do more there.
I got to believe when you're talking about contamination settling to the bottom of the river, I mean, you almost have to dredge the bottom of the river, which is inconceivable to me.
Oh, no, it's been done up in Green Bay. They've worked on the Fox River. They've dredged the bottom of that river and cleaned out a lot of those contaminated sediment. It's happening all over the country.
All right, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I am joined this morning by Kevin Schaefer. He is the executive director of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, and also Pete Cafaro, who is the director of community outreach and is here to offer employment opportunities for many of you in the audience. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take a 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy overnight with a low of 24. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs level off around 29. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 17. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Against my window, bringing back sweet memories.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guests are Kevin Schaefer, Executive Director of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, and also Peter Cafaro, who is the Director of Community Outreach. And gentlemen, before we go any further, this is such a broad subject that I think I would be remiss if we didn't invite you guys back. And for those of you who don't live in Milwaukee, you said this, Kevin, off the air, and you should say it now. This is not just an issue in Milwaukee.
No. We've got drinking water issues, wastewater issues, stormwater issues throughout the country. And it's the same in Green Bay, Madison, Racine, Kenosha, Los Angeles, Chicago, any place you go. And water is so important to our way of life. I mean, we cannot live without water.
Right.
And you see that issue hitting in the southwest part of the country where there's lack of water. So we really need to manage what we have better, utilize it to its most efficient usage. But it's the same issue no matter where you're at.
Do they all have their metropolitan sewage districts, or is Milwaukee unique?
Nope. They all have a sewer system. Sometimes it's owned by the city and operated by that community. Sometimes it's a regional system like ours. There's deep tunnels throughout the country as well. And I didn't even talk about combined sewers, which are older sewers from older parts of communities that is one pipe that collects both rainwater and sanitary flow. And there's like 700, I think there's around 700 combined sewer systems in the country. So everyone talks about how Milwaukee has a combined sewer system. We're not unique. It was just the way they did it before the Clean Water Act came along. It was just how we built sewers.
And so, you know, it's time to kind of transition to your co-worker here, Mr. Cafaro. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
It just so happens that when you're talking about something of the magnitude of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, there's got to be a couple people working in in that facility. Let's talk about opportunities that exist for people who might want to become a part of that.
Absolutely. So a lot of opportunities. Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District itself has around 250 employees. And then our key partner who helps us operate and maintain our treatment plants, Veolia Water, also has around 250. So together, around 500 employees. But if you look at the scale and scope of also all of our contracting activity, which last year was around $120 million, we have a lot of contractors and consultants and vendors that are doing business with us. So as a whole, the water sector in this region is about 1.5% to 2% of our workforce, about 12 to 18,000 employees. And there's turnover occurring in this industry, just as there are others, probably around 700 to 800 positions annually that are opening up. So we think it's an exciting profession, and we're excited to talk to people about it. And in particular, an event that we have coming up today, which is a career fair from 3 to 6 p.m.
Where is that going to be located?
That's going to be at the Embassy Center, Milwaukee, MKE. It's at the Parklawn Assembly of God, the corner of Sherman and Fond du Lac and Roosevelt. And despite the rain, and maybe it's snow at that time, we encourage people to come out because we'll have over 35 partners there. We'll have private sector partners, contractors, some consultants. We'll have Badger Meter, JF Ahern. We'll have our partners who are organizing that, which is Milwaukee Water Works, Veolia Water, Wisconsin DNR, JobWorks MKE. And we are, this will be our fourth career fair that we've held specifically for the water sector.
You know, all of those different career paths, because that's what they are. And I would venture to say that once you get into a career path like that, you probably don't have to worry about getting laid off. I mean, I would think that what you do in those career paths don't lead to, you know, based on the economy and all those kind of things, whether or not, you know, you're going to be working or laid off. I think that, and we talked about this a little bit before, it's critically important that we get the information to people who sometimes struggle, who don't understand that these kind of career paths are out there and people aren't aware of them. You know, again, when you talk trades, you talk electrician, you know, steam fitter, tool and die maker a little bit. I guess they still do that. But you don't talk about the trade paths in the water. Let's talk a little bit about what some of the career paths are.
Absolutely.
In the water.
I think you highlighted one of the greatest challenges facing our industry is that our work is often out of sight and out of mind as a result.
Right.
You can't see our work. It's underground. It's at facilities that aren't close to the public. So one of the first things that we need to start doing a better job is telling the career story, particularly from the perspective of those already working in the profession, and in a way that young people in particular can relate to that person's story and see themselves in that profession. So our Speakers Bureau is busy with events all year along with our other partners. We're developing videos. Now, videos don't necessarily help tell the complete story, but they're a hook to get someone interested. And you're absolutely right. There's not, generally speaking, a lot of turnover, particularly for the folks that work on the municipal water and sewer end. There's about 1,200 employees. And in general, our turnover rates are lower, but we do have retirements occurring.
Right.
Our career paths often have an entry-level component and then go up to skilled/technical roles and then even higher-level professional-related and leadership positions. I can give you an example of a couple that we're particularly excited. So our partner, Veolia Water, has several positions that we would consider at the entry level. They're labor positions, maintenance labor positions. You typically need 1 to 2 years of
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees.
But we can protect them from 6 types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Answer true or false. Radon is a radioactive gas. True.
I didn't know that, no.
True or false. The Office of the Surgeon General recommends that all homes be tested for radon. True, your home should be tested. True or false, radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. True.
I'm gonna dial the number and call.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Keep your family safe from radon. Call now.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 16 overnight under partly cloudy skies, northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, high of 24. Lows dip down to about 12 tomorrow night, clear skies. Dry and turning much warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
So as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Kevin Schaefer, Executive Director of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, and Peter Cafaro, who is the Director of Community Outreach at Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District. You know, Kevin, when you talk about overflows, right? You guys have been condemned. Oh, they dump untreated water into the lake. And, well, nobody, I'm sure you don't want to do that, right? I mean, you don't intentionally say, we're going to pour untreated water into the lake. But there comes a point in time, I guess there's a maximum amount of storage,
right,
that you have for untreated sewage. It's not like it's a syringe and you just let it run through a syringe. There's so much water that comes in that the tunnels can only hold so much. You've got a choice: either shut it off and it runs back, backfills. Correct me. I don't know how it works, but
yeah. So with both of our water reclamation facilities, we can treat 630 million gallons a day of water. So we're treating that, you know, up to that amount all the time.
Like a lot of water.
It's a lot of water. Add on to that 630 million that we're treating every day, the 521 million gallons of storage that we have in the deep tunnel, and that's where you get to that 98.5%. We really don't have overflows that often anymore. And if you want to know who gives the call for having an overflow, you're looking at them. I'm the person that has to make that decision. 2 o'clock in the morning seems to be a very popular time for rain to come into our region. So we're up all night when it rains hard, and this is not something we take lightly, because we know that it's going to impact the environment. But if we don't have that overflow, it could back up into people's basements. It could cause problems with street flooding. So what we're trying to do is minimize the impact to the environment, but mostly minimize the impact to public health to our residents. So keep it out of people's basements if we can. Keep it from flooding streets and areas if we can. Working with the municipalities to do all that work. But it's really, we're seeing more intense rainstorms. And last year, all of 2022, we had one day where we had an overflow. And that was because of an intense rainstorm in early September.
So, you know, because...
And Earl, we're not perfect.
No.
You know, we're not perfect.
I don't think... anybody is, by any stretch of the imagination. And I would say to you, I didn't even see, and maybe I did see, the expansion of the sewage, the deep tunnel. Is that what we saw years ago when they had the big cement things all over the city? Was that, and putting them in the ground, was that the expansion of the deep tunnel?
When we originally built it?
Or, no.
Oh, the expansion.
Expansion.
So what we did was...
Because we don't see that. I mean, we don't know what those things are. Like you said, it's out of sight.
Yeah. I think what you're talking about is probably more of a local sewer where you're seeing the pieces of concrete pipe that are being put in. When we build the deep tunnel, we build a drop shaft. It goes down 300 feet into the ground.
Wow.
So we drill down 300 feet. We build a chamber at the bottom of that drop shaft where we put a what's called a tunnel boring machine, and it looks like a big screwdriver. And we drop that machine into the bedrock, and it just starts cutting through that rock until it gets to the point that we need to connect to. Yeah. And then we pull that rock out. And actually, if you know Summerfest Island, the rock that built Summerfest Island was from the original tunnel.
You know, when you these people who do those jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Have to be kind of special people, right? I mean, don't know.
These are tough jobs, but they pay really well. I mean, it's a good living.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that people who do those kinds of jobs, because we don't see them, we don't know. But where would we be without them, right?
That's right. Yeah. No, it's in my mind, it's one of the most important public jobs that you can have to help the public's health and to keep the communities clean.
So off the air, we were talking about Dineen Park, a park near where I live, and I watched them dredge the lagoon. And it took about 3 years. They completely reconfigured the park. I mean, which is amazing to me as I was watching it, you know, take place. But I was more intoxicated by what was happening with that lagoon. I was wondering, how are they possibly going to get all this water out of this lagoon and clean the stuff from the bottom of it? And I watched them do this miraculous job over a three-year period of time. And then I was asking you during the break, man, I can't even imagine doing that to a river. You got to be patient, right? I mean, there has to be some patience, Or do you see this gradually? You guys know this is not going to be something that may take a generation.
Yeah, we're planning for 10 years from now with all of our capital projects. So we have projects lined up for the next 10 years, and then we're looking beyond that. It takes a long time to get public input, to make sure that the public understands what we're doing and how important it is to their lives, design it, construct it, operate and maintain it. Dineen Park was a great partnership that the city of Milwaukee, separate from us, the city of Milwaukee went in and did that work. And we helped on the early stages of it, but it's just it's something that we need to do throughout the Milwaukee area, because there's lagoons in almost every park. And those lagoons over the years have filled up with contaminated sediment. And we need to do the same thing there that we did with Dineen. But then when you start talking about the rivers and moving into that larger scale, it will take significant money, contractors, and people.
So why is it important to clean out the lagoons? People aren't drinking water from the lagoons. They do time to time fish from there. Is that the reason that the lagoons are...
Yeah, and people recreate around the lagoons, but it's those the fish is the big thing. So the fish are contaminated. You have fish advisories. There's probably signs at the lagoons that say don't eat the fish, blah, blah, blah. But it's a public health risk, and we need to reduce those risks as much as we can. So
where does the financing come from? Is that all federal dollars?
Well, it's federal, state, and local. So Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, we're a taxing authority as well. So we tax, and then we use that money to make improvements. We get funding from the state through the Department of Natural Resources, a great partner as well. A lot of it does come from the federal government. For us, it's either through the EPA or the Corps of Engineers. And with President Biden signing the bipartisan infrastructure law a year and a half, 2 years ago, we're just seeing that money start coming into the system.
So I got to figure something the size of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. It's got to have a budget over $300 million a year.
Yeah, we have two budgets. On the capital improvement budget, we're usually spending around $120 to $140 million. That number is going to go up in the next few years. And then on the operation and maintenance side, it's another $75 to $80 million. So it's over $200 million easy.
So do you interact with other districts like yours across the state?
Across the state and across the country. But, Green Bay, Madison, we are friends. I mean, we talk a lot. Right. Because, again, the issues are the same. We're all looking at the same federal funding, state funding, local funding, and the problems are the same. So we all try to address it. You know, we learn from each other.
So, Mr. Cafaro, when you talk about these job opportunities, you know, certainly best case scenario is you fill those jobs with young people like the young man here who's 21 years old, as opposed to, you know, a guy of my age. You want someone who's going to be around for a long time, who will be able to learn things that will eventually benefit them as well as the district itself.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, some of the positions really are very skilled and technical positions. And so starting when you're young, getting a wide exposure to the industry, having a chance to complete perhaps an apprenticeship, which was the original four-year college. It's the highest road workforce development tool to develop someone's talent and on a career pathway. That's where we think it's a compelling story. And when parents learn more about it, they get more excited about it. And it would be great to get to a place where we get as excited about apprenticeship as we do when we hear someone's going to college.
Right. So UWM offers the training necessary, I guess, to follow that path.
Our technical colleges and our four-year colleges. But our technical colleges are really sometimes the unsung heroes. We have great relationship with Milwaukee Area Technical College. They help prepare our lab technicians, our water quality monitoring, sampling technicians, survey crew staff, and they've also done wastewater-related specific training for a cohort. Certainly our four-year colleges, we're very fortunate to have UWM, MSOE, Marquette, you know, in our front yard, our backyard, and they're doing some amazing work.
So, you know, when you think about this, You think about Well, this is a man's job. And so what we're looking for is a few good men. Am I off track?
We have a wonderful career video out on our website right now and associated with the One Water, our water initiative with Elisa. She is giving a testimonial where she talks about, she's a supervisor now, probably in her 20s, started off at entry level and is having a great career. So it is not specifically, of course, part of that is actually the stereotype around this work and why it's so important to have folks from all different backgrounds give a testimony to their career and their pathway. So young girls, high school girls, and others can see themselves in that respective role.
You know, Kevin, you've been at this a little while, right?
You can tell, huh? The gray hair gave me away.
Well, you know, it's, again, here's a prime example of what I'm talking about. So I've been here a long time in Milwaukee, and I knew of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. I knew of it. I really didn't know about it, right? And so if you went through our community, there's a very small percentage of people who know anything about what you guys do. And after hearing what it is you're talking about, it's critically important. I mean, where would the city be? Where would any of us be without clean water, right? I mean, that's
exactly
one of the most important things next to clean air,
right?
That any of us could have. Yet, people don't know the importance of the jobs you do.
And you know, there's a stereotype about MMSD that's out there as well. And again, we're trying to make sure that people understand. There's people behind all these projects, all these things that we're doing, and it's important that these people reflect the community. Are from the community if we can find them, and it helps the economy, it helps family ability to pay their bills, it helps the region with clean water, and you're right, Earl, it's just vitally important for all of us.
Well, you know, the other part of it is recreation and water, yeah. Right? You know, that's one of the major things in the summer, and not just in Milwaukee, but everywhere. Water and the importance of it, and you know,
I moved to Milwaukee in 1998, and when I moved here, I'd drive by Bradford Beach, McKinley Beach. No one was out there. It was an empty lakefront.
No kidding.
On a hot summer day, no one was out there. And what we've seen over the last 20 years is, and this, you know, Pete mentioned some of the schools that have helped us. School of Freshwater Sciences has brought some great research into this. The county park system working with raking the sand to kill pathogens. What we've seen is those beachfronts are just packed on a summer day now. And I think that's a true testament to all the hard work that a lot of different organizations are doing.
That lakefront is a prime example. Again, as a guy who's been here forever.
Yeah.
I know what that lakefront was when I was 18 years old. And we didn't want to go down there. The stench was so horrible. And the sand itself. But when you go down there now, you guys have played a role in that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're part of that.
So when we come back, I want to drill down a little more about, you know, how you were able to transform that. Because there's a sewage plant. Or water plant down on the lake, right? Is that
yes.
Yours?
There's a drinking water utility just north of Bradford Beach, but yeah. Our Jones Island wastewater plant is on Jones Island, so it's downtown.
844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We'll be right back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates. Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. Do you think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law?
Letitia James, she's doing the civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally I leave the being wrong to Dom.
right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 30. Today, under mainly clear skies, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 16. Tonight, clear skies. Lots of sunshine outside again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 39. Mainly clear Sunday, with highs around 41. 40 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest again, Kevin Schaefer, Executive Director of Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, and Pete Cafaro, who is the Director of Community Outreach. And you know, Kevin, you know, I remember the beach, and, you know, when I was a young boy, and not being able to go down in, you know, I have to say, you know, during the summer, I'm walking down there, right? And everybody is. The recreation opportunities that we have down at that wonderful, wonderful lakefront really weren't there when I was a young boy or even a young man. And I remember the sand looking just hideous, dark patches on it, and the sand was dirty and nasty. And then you would see sometimes vegetation and life, dead fish roll up on it, and let alone you weren't going in the lake to wade into it or swim in it. It was horrible. You say you guys helped play a role in transforming it to what is now a destination place for the city.
Yeah, and it really does go back to the deep tunnel. So when that deep tunnel came online, it helped reduce the pollution going into the lake, into the rivers, into the lake.
Did you know it then, that it would do that?
The deep tunnel, oh, yeah, that's why it was built. It was built to reduce pollution getting into the rivers. As that has operated since 1993, we've seen that the water side of the beachfront is clean. You know, it's a clean waterfront now. But what we found through some great work from Dr. Sandra McClellan at School of Freshwater Sciences was that the cause of some of the concerns, the sand that you were talking about, was that we were having fecal coliforms, E. coli, forming underneath the sand pebbles. So what we learned that others were doing around the country through collaboration with other areas is that if we rake the beach, that will turn that sand over, and the UV sunlight will kill that E. coli. So it's been a learning experience. We did that like in 2003, 2004. MMSD purchased that first piece of equipment, and then we turned it over to Milwaukee County Parks. And today, Milwaukee County Parks rakes the beach, and they've got shacks out there that they're selling, I think, food and drinks at. Right. It's really a destination
and,
point.
And you said that you found out that most of that was coming from seagulls.
Yeah, school, and people will laugh. People used to laugh at us when we'd say this, but the university did studies on what was the source of the bacteria coming into the beaches. And what they found was seagulls were defecating on the sand, and that was, you know, washing down into the sand and then getting under those particles. And it would just sit there. And so turning that sand over on a regular basis allows the sunlight to kill that.
You know, and you know, you certainly couldn't chase the seagulls away. There's a smorgasbord on the lake for them, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's nature. There's no way to regulate them.
No, and that's nature. So what you want to do is you want to try to mitigate the impacts of that.
Yeah. You know, and before we get out of here, Pete, I want you to talk about again the event that's happening this afternoon and evening, where people can go and what time.
Again, it'll be from 3 to 6 at the Embassy Center, MKE. That's the Park Lawn Assembly of God. And really encourage folks, even if you're not sure what you're interested in.
That's on Fond du Lac and Roosevelt.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Even if you're not entirely sure what you're interested, we encourage job seekers to talk to our employer partners, and we have a lot of workforce development agencies and environmental groups that are talking about internships for high school students and for college students. It's really going to be a great event. We have Employ Milwaukee. We have the one-stop operator that will be there, and a variety of different entities that will be there to help people.
And these are career, jobs, and even entry level is a stepping stone to a more than middle class career opportunity.
Correct. Correct. Entry-level positions. Now, they might not always pay $60,000.
Yeah, right,
in fact,
right,
most
right.
of them don't. But it is a start. It's a beginning. And as you mentioned, there isn't a lot of turnover in the industry because people like working in it. And they know they're also doing good for their community in the process.
Yeah, and know they're going to be handsomely compensated.
Yes, yes.
Along the way. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Part of the reason also why we're having the event where we're having it is to make sure that all parts of our community are hearing about this, these opportunities, which has sometimes not been the case.
You know, I want to thank you guys for us finally being able to make the connection. And we want to make sure that we do this again and again and again, because you know, what's more important than the water, right? There's food, there's water, there's air. But all three of them, you know, we can't make it without either one of them. Right. And so water is as important as the others. So thank you. I guarantee you we'll do this again and again and again, however long it takes that we can get people to understand the importance of it and the career opportunities that exist.
Thank you, Earl. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Very much. Really appreciate it. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
America are going to school hungry, millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.